Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here to investigate the Dharma together. And a special welcome to our seminar participants. A teisho, or talk by a teacher, is not a sermon or an inspirational talk in the usual sense. Teisho is the Japanese word for a shout. It's an attempt by the teacher to express the inexpressible in words. So don't worry about finding meanings or analyzing or judging what you hear. Just sit up straight and let it run through you like a river. Don't try to grasp any of the words or phrases any more than you would try to grasp a piece of the river as it flows by. If you need to shift your posture during the teisho, that's okay. But please do it mindfully and quietly. Most of the teishos given here are commentaries on koans. Koans are, for the most part, stories of the sayings and doings of the Zen masters of Tang Dynasty China, the so-called Golden Age of Zen. They express the great freedom of the master coming forth in all sorts of ways and circumstances. Thus, we can learn from their example, not about the particular phrase or act, but the liberated spirit that's behind it. In working on a koan, you must enter into it to the point where there's not one whit of separation between you and the koan or between you and the master. Then you must demonstrate this non-separation in doksan, the one-on-one meeting with a teacher. In our koan curriculum here, the formal training runs to some 550 koans. Each one looks at the great matter from a different direction. And it's in working on koan after koan after koan that one's insight is deepened to the point where not only does one realize the truth of things, but one is able to live out of that realization for the benefit of all sentient beings. So today we'll take a look at a koan from the Wu Men Guan, or Mu Men Kan in Japanese. This is a collection of 48 koans, or cases, compiled by Master Wu Men sometime in the 13th century. Wu Men presents the main case, and then adds his own commentary and a verse to help us out. So, case number 4 in the Wu Men Guan, Huoan's Beardless Barbarian. The case reads, Huoan said, "Why has the Western barbarian no beard?" Then Wu Men's commentary. Training in Zen has to be real training. Enlightenment has to be real enlightenment. Once you see the barbarian's face intimately, at first hand, you have it. But when you explain this experience, you immediately fall into dualism. And then Wu Men's verse. Before a fool, do not discuss your dream. The barbarian has no beard. This is adding stupidity to clarity. Huoan, whose Japanese name is Wakuan, lived from 1108 to 1179 of the Common Era. He was a teacher of the Southern Song Dynasty and a Dharma grandson of Yen Wu, the editor-commentator of the Blue Cliff Record. That's another collection of koans that we work on here. and a Dharma nephew of Da Wei. So he is of the house of Linji, Rinzai. The Western barbarian is how the Chinese referred to Bodhidharma, and sometimes even to the Buddha. Anyone who was not Chinese was considered to be a barbarian, an outlander. Many here have heard of Bodhidharma. He's the revered, semi-legendary, 6th century Indian master, said to be the 28th ancestor in direct descent from the Buddha himself. At a very advanced age, he traveled to China, where he met the Emperor Wu of Yang, an encounter described in case number 1 of the Blue Cliff Record. We'll take a look at that in a little bit. Subsequently, he traveled to Shaolin Monastery in northwest China, where he spent 9 years doing Zazen, facing the wall of his cave. He became known as the wall-gazing Brahmin. There has been a Bodhidharma figure on the altar in the lower Doksan room, but that room is under repair right now from water damage, so he's at the moment in the office. I think that's a demotion. In almost all portraits, he is depicted as wide-eyed, somewhat ferocious in expression, and sporting a great bushy beard. And yet, Huan said, "Why has the Western barbarian no beard?" Superficially, the question makes no sense. It's like asking, "Why do you have no head?" The question has a deceptive, childlike simplicity about it. Like all koans, it short-circuits our traditional habitual thinking, our logical mind. And it can be a bit frightening. As Shibayama Roshi points out, it's a dagger at your throat. If Bodhidharma has no beard, is he really Bodhidharma? How do we think of ourselves? How do we imagine ourselves? I have a car, a bank account, a computer, hands, eyes, and yes, I even have a beard. How dare you deny it? Because if I have no beard, when I manifestly have one, what does that say about me? Myself. Who am I then? What am I? Is there a me that I don't know about that has no beard? We identify with all those characteristics, don't we? We look in the mirror and are reassured. Eyes, nose, ears, beard. Yep, that's me, all right. We look in our wallet. See the driver's license, the credit cards, the library card, the money, and we are reassured. How do you feel when you suddenly realize that you left your wallet at the restaurant? Panic! I'm not complete! There's a great feeling of emptiness in the gut. So we rush back and ask the proprietor if anyone has turned in a wallet or a purse. Oh, yes, here it is. Whew, what a relief. I'm whole again. One of the most terrifying aspects of being arrested and jailed is the loss of identity, the loss of self. They take away everything. Your wallet, money, shoes, belt, clothing, and your freedom. You might even lose a beard if you had one. Your naked body is dressed in an orange jumpsuit that may or may not fit. You're a cipher, a non-entity. Is it any wonder that so many prisoners do whatever they can to recreate themselves? Get into fights, attack the guards, even to the extent of throwing their shit at them, joining gangs. And yet, that loss can be a gateway. In his inimitable way, the Korean master Sung San turns this terrible situation on its head in a letter to a prisoner. He writes, "In your letter, you said you were in jail. That is a wonderful Zen center. I also have been in jail. Maybe that jail made me become a Zen master. Maybe jail will make you become a Zen master. It all begins with loss. In our practice, we work to forget everything, to lose everything, to let go of all that is us, our beards, our size, our shape, our color, even our name, our gender, all our characteristics. In order to gain all, you must lose all. And the more deeply attached we are to who we are, to our characteristics and all of what we have, the greater the distress and fear at its loss or threatened loss. It's not surprising that when one joins a monastic order, one thing that happens is your head is shaved, along with your beard and even the eyebrows in some cases. Even your name is taken away. You get another one. Case number one of the Blue Cliff record reads, "The Emperor Wu of Liang asked Bodhidharma, 'What is the first principle of the holy teaching?' Bodhidharma said, 'Vast emptiness, nothing holy.' The emperor said, 'Who is this person confronting me?' Bodhidharma said, 'I don't know.' The emperor could not reach an accord. Bodhidharma then crossed the Yangtze River and went on to the kingdom of Wei. The emperor later took up this matter with Master Zhe. Zhe said, 'Does your majesty know that person yet?' The emperor said, 'I don't know him.' Zhe said, 'That was the Bodhisattva Kuan Yin, conveying the mind seal of the Buddha.' The emperor felt regretful and at once sought to have a messenger dispatched to urge him to return. Zhe said, 'There's no use in sending a messenger. Even if everyone in the whole country went after him, he would not return.' The emperor could not reach an accord. He did not know that person. He saw only the bearded one. He did not see the Bodhisattva. He did not see the Bodhidharma with no beard. Is the Bodhisattva the Bodhidharma with no beard? One could say that Bodhidharma has no beard, nor does he have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, or any of the rest of it. You yourself are like that. You do not have eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind. All is the primal void. Well, if there really is nothing, then that is not yet the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva has no beard and no not beard. The Bodhisattva has no characteristics, is empty of any substance, empty of self, and empty even of emptiness, for emptiness too is a characteristic. If you have no characteristics, nothing that belongs to you or is you, you have no fear. Such matters as size, gender, wealth or lack of it, fame, the opinions of others, or even your life and death, no longer have relevance for you. Does this map worry about what color it is? Or even that it has a color? Does a bird worry about whether its song is on key or not? Does a tree worry about the shape or the color of its leaves? Wu Men's commentary. Training in Zen has to be real training. Enlightenment has to be real enlightenment. Once you see the barbarian's face intimately at first hand, you have it. But when you explain this experience, you immediately fall into dualism. Easy to say, but what is real training? What is real enlightenment? If I try to explain, I will be misleading you and my eyebrows will fall out. But Bodhidharma shows us explicitly. He sat facing the wall for 9 years. 9 years of Zazen. Is that a very long time? Or only a brief moment? The 13th century Japanese master Dogen writes, "You should pay attention to the fact that even the Buddha Shakyamuni had to practice Zazen for 6 years. It is also said that Bodhidharma had to do Zazen at Shaolin Temple for 9 years in order to transmit the Buddha mind. Since these ancient sages were so diligent, how can present-day trainees do without the practice of Zazen? You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words, and following after speech, and learn to withdraw and reflect upon yourself. When you do so, body and mind will naturally fall away, and your original face will be revealed. If you want to realize such a thing, you should begin Zen training and exert yourself in this matter at once. The study of Zen means the practice of Zazen. Cast away all involvements, cease all affairs, and let the myriad things rest. Setting everything aside, do not think of good or evil, right or wrong. Halt the flow of the mind. Cease conceptualizing, thinking, and observing, and give up even the idea of becoming a Buddha. This holds true not only for seated Zazen, but for all your daily actions." Well, there's your assignment. The study of Zazen, or the study of Zen, is the practice of Zazen. Without Zazen, there is no Zen. If you think training, it is not real training. If you think enlightenment, it is not real enlightenment. Training is not what you hear about from others. It is not what you think or imagine or consider. Neither is enlightenment. Training is what you yourself do every moment. Real practice and real enlightenment are right there in your sitting, in your walking, in your eating, and washing the dishes. As Dogen instructs, don't think that discussion, theorizing, conceptualizing will do it. Even coming to daily sittings on a regular basis is not going to be enough for the vast majority of us. It is in the extended sittings, Zazenkai, all-day sittings, weekend, and 7-day Sesshin, that body and mind drop away to the point where the way stands clear, undisguised, and completely self-evident. To see the barbarian's face. Is there a beard or not? Are there eyes, ears, nose, or not? We have to get beyond yes, no, good, bad, ignorance, enlightenment, man, woman, form, emptiness, beard, no beard. It is only then that we can reach an accord. Intimacy. Only then do we see the barbarian's face, the face of our parents before we were born. And then, the Western barbarian has no beard and no not beard. Woman's verse. Before a fool, do not discuss your dream. The barbarian has no beard. This is adding stupidity to clarity. Before a fool, do not discuss your dream. What kind of fool are we talking about here? There is the ordinary fool who runs about grasping and scheming, getting and spending, all the rest of it. Then there is the great fool. Who does what? One will not understand, the other already knows. Can you tell the difference? Do not discuss your dream. Zen folk claim to have a great distrust of words, but they still use an awful lot of them. I feel kind of bad about that. In his commentary on Mu, Wu Men says, you are like a mute person who has had a dream. You know it for yourself alone. And we cannot explain it to others. Each one of us must find out for ourselves by the personal experience that arises from the practice of Zazen. So don't add stupidity to clarity. What's stupidity? What's clarity? Just more characteristics to cling to. Zhao Zhou once said, this old monk does not abide in clarity. Then where does he abide? Or does he abide anywhere? Stupidity, clarity, ignorance, enlightenment, beards, no beards, all characteristics, qualities, best to have nothing to do with them. Together with all beings, we realize the way.